Blog Talk Radio.
You are fake news.
Oh, yeah. That's right, man. I need to sample that, put it in some type of song, some type of rap. You know, you are fake news. Oh, God. Man, I tell y'all, the more I mean, I've been doing this now for probably about 5+ years. This wasn't my mission. This wasn't my mission. I was doing all kind of other stuff. I always did public speaking, but I never was really into politics and talking about these type of social issues. I did do Bible studies on college campuses, all in the southern part of Ohio, all of that. But man, I will tell you this much. Doing this and looking at what's going on, not only just in our country, but across the planet, if you don't have a sound mind and if you're not stable and all of those things, you'll go crazy. This right here is enough to drive you to be crazy. Folks right now are walking around without an awareness of what's really happening around them. It's almost as if a whole building is burning down and they're just at the cooler pouring water. Everybody else is running, trying to get to an exit. They smell the smoke, hear that fire alarm, and you got a couple idiots. I'm going to make a cup of coffee, Jim. Do you want, what, Jim, where are you going? Why are you running so fast? Okay, could you get those letters done by the end of the day? You don't see the building on fire? So many Americans have no idea that around them are forest fires, and they're just carrying on like normal. Honey, here's our picnic. Hey, kids, come over here and sit down. We're going to eat. Dad, don't you see that smoke? You don't feel that heat? The heat is on, man. The heat is on, just like me. I'm on here live in Kevin's Corner, so welcome to the show. Sorry for the intro rant. Had to drop a little something because I'm all messed up on the inside. Not like liberals, unnecessarily messed up. I'm messed up for a reason, y'all. And you're going to see what I'm talking about as we get into this show tonight. But before we do that, what?
Priceless. Right here.
Nonsense. Let me give my disclaimer. Okay, first of all, I'm rocking the glasses, not just because I'm cool. If you didn't see my last live show, these lights are starting to mess with my eyeballs. Okay, now I can't afford that, and I'm gonna tell you why. Sometimes I like to go into the gun range, and I'm good, man. I'm like dead shot. Okay, and I'm starting to notice one of my eyes is getting a little blurred from the lights on me, and I need a little bit of something to block me. I can't be out there just in case the grid goes down. I don't want to be seeing double. I need to be on it. Bing, 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 bing. See, you know what I'm saying? So I got to protect them. With that being said, listen to this show.
This is a big deal. This is gigantic.
Gigantic.
That's what, notwithstanding some of the signs that I saw come, that's why 81 million Americans voted for me. The largest number of votes in American history.
Don't clap for that. Don't clap.
Clear majority. Supported when they supported me. No, not a joke.
Think of that. Think of that.
I am thinking of that.
We've taken.
It's ridiculous. This man just got up there. Now, first of all, y'all, there's been some activities going around the United States, y'all. These organic, not like Antifa and Black Lives Matter, just randomly show up right after someone gets shot. It's almost like they're in an underground tunnel being bussed in somehow. And soon as a person gets shot, they get on that CBI. Yeah, we got a shooting. There's a black man down. It's almost like they intercept the call. Is he black? Okay, all right, did the white cop shoot him? Okay, we're on our way. It's almost like they beam these dudes in. I'm saying to myself, who organizes these huge groups of folks that just show up randomly right after a shooting? Unlike that, these chants that's been going around are organically taking place on all types of events, college campuses, and stuff like that. Now, Joe, he's confused. He don't understand how could any of us not like him. He can't understand how if he got 81 million votes, we all should love him. Not a joke. Well, no. The joke is on you, Joe. I don't know if they told Joe that they really stuck him in there or not. Maybe he believes that he really won. Okay, just for his ego. I mean, he's already famous. They probably was like, Joe, all right, listen, you know you're winning. What? Winning what? What am I? I wasn't playing a game. No. Anyway, Joe, you're about to be the president. Oh, I like presidents. Good. Joe, look, you won. How? Well, you got 81 million votes. So maybe Joe in his mind believes that he got 81 million votes. But I highly doubt that. But he's going to use that to try to make folks believe, even though all of these thousands and thousands of folks are chanting F. Joe Biden, clap, 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 clap. Even though that's taking place, they're in the minority. So here's my question. If all of these folks are in the minority, then that means wherever Joe goes, there should be an overwhelming, drowning out amount of folks singing, yay, Joe Biden. Wherever Joe goes, instead of being overwhelmed by anti-Joe protesters, and his audience only has a small group of personally invited folks and, of course, the press. Instead of that, his group should be huge. I've been to many Trump rallies. We're in there going hard, MAGA. We're in there going, you know, America and all that stuff. And you'll get maybe one or two folks in there that might jump up and be like, you know, I'm an F Trump. One or two compared to 30,000 plus folks. But it's reversed with Joe. And here he is boasting about some 81,000, wait, 81 gazillion. Wait, how many did I get?
And we just, I don't know what's happened.
Yeah, I do, Joe.
Not a joke.
It is
not a joke.
You're the joke. You don't know it.
The world's watching. Not a joke.
That's
a joke.
Not a joke.
Unbelievable moment. Brandon, you also told me you can hear the chants from the crowd. Let's go, Brandon. And you told me you were going to kind of hang back those two stages and just watch and learn what learned to help you there in those closing laps.
Oh, wait, y'all. Maybe my ears are a little foggy. I don't know. Might have went swimming or something. Got water in the ear. But this commentator is trying to make us think those chants in the background is let's go some Brandon. Okay, maybe let's just do it again. Maybe we were wrong. Maybe okay.
Unbelievable moment. Brandon, you also told me you can hear the chants from the crowd. Let's go, Brandon.
Wait,
you told me you were going to kind of hang back those two stages and
right.
Just watch and learn what learned to help you there in those closing
laps.
It was learning how line didn't everything shifted top to bottom so much.
Anti-Joe Biden chants erupted at the NASCAR Talladega Super Speedway event in Alabama. The video shows winner Brandon Brown giving his post-race interview after banking his first NASCAR Xfinity Series race. The NBC Sports interview can see the reporter telling Brown the crowd is chanting, let's go Brandon.
Let's go Brandon.
That wasn't the case. Crowd goers were chanting anti-Biden rhetoric. When it was clear what the crowd was chanting, NASCAR took down the interview on Twitter. Just last week, a similar situation occurred at a congressional baseball game in Washington, D.C. President Biden attended the event. Most of the crowd welcomed him, but there were a few who booed him.
Let me get involved. Boo! Crowd participation. Boo! Hold on, wait a minute.
Joe, you suck! Similar chanting from the NASCAR event happens at college football games where fans turn political.
Yeah. I can dance. Music in my ear.
As soon as you give politicians power.
Okay. All right. I'm sorry. I was starting to get into that chant, y'all. I can't wait till it come to someplace near me because I'm going to jump on board, y'all. I might run out in the middle of the field on a 50-yard line, set up one of those little stands or something that the conductors are on. Uh-huh. I'll bring it myself. I would just happen to show up at the game with one of those marching band stands that they be conducting the fan on, run straight out there on that field and be like, okay, everyone, that's Joe Biden. Because he deserves every bit of that. Every single bit of that. Now, before we move on, my friend, I think, is waiting in the queue to fill me in on what's going on down in a certain place. I believe I recognize this number. So let's see if I'm correct. We got us a caller waiting. Here we go. Let's see. Caller, you're live on the air with Kevin from Kevin's Corner. Who am I speaking with?
Hey, what's up, Kev? It's Ryan, man.
Ryan, what's going on, man? How you feel, brother?
I'm feeling good, man. I see you doing your thing. You party. I liked your intro, your little intro rant. Yeah, man, it's funny how, you know, everybody in the country can't see it. And, I mean, it's like, you know, even including, you know, your close family members, like I told you before, like my parents, you know, ever since I got red-pilled, it's like you just can't unsee things, man. You just can't. It don't even matter who when you see the nonsense, you just can't unsee it. And it's like, you know, my mom calls me yesterday, and she's like, oh, you need to vote. You need to vote. I was like, well, I'm going to vote. She's like, well, you need to vote for the Democrats. And I said, well, why would I vote? Why would I put them back in power? She said, well, they're going to expunge your misdemeanor marijuana charge from back when you was like 19. And I said, Mom, I did everything I was supposed to do with that charge. I went to my drug class. I did everything I was supposed to do. If they didn't expunge it, why would I believe them now? And she said, well, they're legalizing marijuana. I said, Mom, I was in the Navy for almost 10 years. I said, when is the last time you know I smoked marijuana? Why would I do that? So you know what I did today? I went and voted for Glenn Youngkin. And guess what? The other few days ago, Glenn Youngkin is the first Republican candidate to get the endorsement of the Hampton Roads Black Caucus here in Virginia, here in the 757 area. And Terry McAuliffe, I got a feeling he's going to go down. And don't want to take up too much of your time, Kev. I just got to say that we are going to have a red wave. We're going to have a red wave in 22, a red wave here at the end of 2021, and get a Republican governor of Virginia. And we're going to take back the House, the Senate, and the White House eventually. It's going to happen. Keep spreading the word, man. Keep calling out that nonsense, and don't let them censor you. Just keep fighting the good fight, man. God bless you. Have a nice night.
All right, man. God bless you. Oh, man, you always give me some type of energy, man, when you call, man. I appreciate your call, brother. God bless. Make sure you stay in touch. Hey, keep me posted on that race. Y'all hear that, y'all? Down there in Virginia? Yeah, So what's interesting about what he was saying, y'all, is his mom, unfortunately, she zeroed in on something very small. And I think that is how the Democrats operate. See, they promise little snacks in exchange for big things. They make folks give away the bigger thing for just something that's right in front of their eyes. See, it's no different than my analogy with that monkey that gets out of the cage. The monkey who gets free will exchange his freedom all for a little bit of glitter that sits in the bottom of a bottleneck hourglass. All that zookeeper does is sticks that hourglass out there with some glitter, and that monkey snooping around out there in the bushes is going, ooh, show look good. Once he goes out there and sticks that monkey paw / Nancy Pelosi hand down into that bottleneck and grab that glitter, makes a fist, can't get loose. And all the zookeeper does is just reels him in because he don't realize that the rope is tied to the bottom of that hourglass. So here the monkey is focused on some shiny, glittery things, not realizing that will come at the expense of way bigger things. So now you get the Democrats with a whole bunch of fake promises of amnesty for all the dreamers, fake promises of, retribution for all the black folks and stuff. Never really come through. But they will give you little small things in exchange for the big things. And they know that most humans live in the moment. Most humans do not see the broader picture. They see right what's in front of my face. Getting to this, you know what, too. See, They know that even right now, all of these folks is going, man, I don't want to be forced to get the mots. But they also know that humans don't like too much pressure. They don't have really stiff backbones that can withstand a little bit of discomfort that might appear to be prolonged. So therefore, if you're sitting back going, man, I don't want to do this, and if they give me an ultimatum and I choose to not do it, I might lose my job. Now, we all could form a civil suit and we'll probably win, but for maybe 9 months or so, it's going to be tough. So I don't want to go through 9 months of waiting to try to see what the outcome is of the court case. So I'm going to go ahead and get it. Not realizing, doing that, you might just exchange way more than taking 9 months to go through a court case or whatever. And they're banking on that. They're banking on folks tapping out real quick soon as they feel the pressure. When I was in the, you know, doing a little MMA, I knew how that felt, y'all. You would see dudes, all it takes is a little bit of this on that esophagus. Boom. Soon as people feel that. Most people, they're not in there like Hoyce Gracie. Hoyce Gracie would make you have to put him to sleep. Hoyce Gracie would make you have to snap his elbow before he tap out. Most people don't even got to go that far. Just feeling a slight bit of, oh, I'm good, I'm good. So that's what they're waiting on. They're banking on that. Because if they can do that, the damage will be done. And those that will sustain the short amount of time it might take to get the, you know, yeah, great, we didn't get everybody, but we got the majority. And that's all that matters. So now you get Joe Biden. Thanks a lot for that, Ryan, if you're still listening, man. I appreciate that call. Like always, that's my friend, man. So just like Joe Biden just came out believing under the fake delusion or lie that he's that popular. And what Ryan was just talking about brings me to tonight's theme, government overreach, y'all. I'm talking all the way reach. They're not saying, excuse me, can you pass me the salt and pepper? No. They're laying flat out, prostrate on the table in the middle of Denny's, reaching over everybody to get the salt and pepper. They're not even being discreet. So with that being said, I think this intro is appropriate because, see, they don't like this dude. This dude, for some reason, has opened his mind to what's really going on, and that is none other than Joe Rogan. Listen to this, y'all. Tell me if you think he's on to something with this.
As soon as you give politicians power, any kind of power that didn't exist previously, if they can figure out a way to force you into carrying something that lets you enter businesses or lets you do this or lets businesses open, historically, they are not going to give that power up. They find new reasons to be out of that. We have to protect those freedoms at all costs, whether you agree with people's choices or not, because it is the foundation that this country was founded on, freedom. This idea of freedom, there's so many people that think it's frivolous, it's not important, it's not the main thing that we should be focused on, but it is the literal structure that allows this country to be so amazing. Every single country that ever existed other than the United States, up until 1776, every country that has ever existed was run by dictators, all of them. This is the experiment in self-government that actually worked, and it created the greatest superpower the world's ever known. It created the greatest cultural machine, the greatest machine of art and creativity and innovation right in here. How did it do that? It did it through freedom. And as soon as you see something, anything that comes along and inhibits your freedom, you should be very cautious about it. You should be very suspicious. Because anything that comes along that can inhibit your freedom is, by definition, anti-American.
My man, he stuck the landing with that speech right there. Because in my opening, right now, all of these things that we enjoy and take for granted and is totally unaware of that sustains us to be able to do what we want to do, go where we go, say what we want to say, is being attacked. This is the fire that's burning all around us. And those that, for whatever reason, have gotten lost in anti-Trump rhetoric, and I hate Trump, and he's a white nationalist, and white nationalist narratives and racism narratives and homophobia narratives, those that have gotten sucked into these Marxist tactics do not realize that the house is on fire. Joe Rogan does. I do. All of you do. But wouldn't the bubbleheads like to see it too? So with that being said, guys, let's get into a couple ways they've been coming at us, y'all, that for some reason, a lot of folks can't even see. Huh? What is this? Oh, my man, Tom Cotton. Here we go.
There are three times in which the committee's had roll call votes on U.S. attorneys. It's been 28 years. So I acknowledge that while there is precedent, it is rare. It's unusual. But I also have to say it's also rare for the president to nominate a radical pro-criminal prosecutor for U.S. attorney position. Rachel Rollins is the very epitome of a Soros prosecutor. It's generous to call her a prosecutor at all. For those who may not know what the term means, Soros prosecutor refers to the wave of so-called progressive political activists who in the last 5 years, backed by wealthy liberal mega donors like George Soros, have run for local district attorney positions.
Now, Tom Cotton just did something that's extraordinary. That just let me know that most likely he's not in the Rhino camp, okay? Because, now I'm not saying that there's no potential Rhino elements in any of them. I mean, heck, at the end of the day, when Trump, didn't win, we saw a whole bunch of folks that was like, what? I can't even believe that, oh, you are a Rhino? You covered it up pretty good. There's those open Rhinos and then there's subtle Rhinos. So I don't believe that this man is one. However, right here, by calling out you-know-who, the evil emperor,
yes, Trump was an anomaly that will disappear in 2020, blah, blah.
Tattoo, when you call him out, woo-hoo-wee, you just made yourself an enemy. But he just had to go there to do it. Now, my question is this, y'all. Why is the evil emperor in everybody's business? What is his goal, his end game, man? Why don't you just mind your own business, old evil man? Global domination? Are you just trying to see the whole world collapse? You know, there are some evil that you just can't even explain. All I can think of is Diablos lives within this man and is using him and all of his resources to bring upon the end time because he has no real motivation. Most folks to get rich mind their own business. But, you know, this dude, it ain't like he got a shortage of money. It ain't like what's going on in the world is threatening his stash and his snatch. He's just like, for some reason, my ideology, my diabolical scheme is to infiltrate all of these areas of countries, sovereign countries, and influence their social structure, their political structure, everything. So I can conclude that this dude is just evil. I mean, some folks, you can identify the source of the evil. The motivation of the evil. Then there's that pure evil. And this man is just straight up 100% pure, uncut evil. Let's finish hearing Tom Cotton call him out and how it's impacting our country.
Throughout the country with the express purpose of igniting revolution and destroying our criminal justice system from within. Pure. Rollins, like San Francisco's Chesa Boudin and Philadelphia's Larry Krasner and Los Angeles's George Gascon, are out to destroy the criminal justice system from within. That's not hyperbole.
Nope.
That's not my language. She literally said in an event last year when she was speaking about what she calls an unjust criminal justice system, that her purpose as a prosecutor is to, quote, dismantle it from the inside.
Oh, snap. So as these folks somehow don't take into account that, you know what, one day I might run for office or I might be nominated, and I'm going to be sitting before a whole bunch of conservative senators and stuff like that, too. Maybe I should pull back on the crazy. But no, they don't. They are 100% committed to the crazy. So then when they're sitting there getting, you know, evaluated and you hear stuff like that, then what do you say? When I said unravel it from the inside, I mean like unravel it from the – I mean when you'd be unraveling gifts for the new, like Christmas and stuff, instead of taking the paper off from the outside, I like to poke a hole in the box, stick my hand in, and then open the box from inside. That's all. That's all I was talking about. It's a childhood thing. That's it. No, it's not. We know exactly what you're up to because you said it. Not only is she up to that? But many others are too, are globalist Democrats. It's very suspicious to me how so much incompetency is taking place under one organization, because it appears to me that all of these mistakes that's being made are purposeful. Nobody's this incompetent. Nobody screws up the economy, screws up handling you know what that's going around, screws up our border, screws up our respect on the national stage, screws up what's going on in Afghanistan, screwing up everything. Nobody is that incompetent, man. I can't think of one president. Jimmy Carter wasn't even that bad. But yet this administration is doing everything they can to just destroy America. Because guess what? For the great reset to take place, you got to take down the big dog. You got to take down the number one stunner, baby. And the only way you can do that is from the inside out, by doing things like destabilizing our neighborhoods, our school systems, our police force, our institutions, our voting process, FBI, CIA, NSA, DOJ, all of these institutions you get yourself nestled into, and you start using them to destroy the country from the inside out. And we're seeing it happen in real time, in record-breaking time. 9 months, man. We went from stabilization to this. We went from recognizing real stabilization to now seeing real destabilization. And yet all the folks were burning around them and they don't see it. They were under the delusion that Trump had destabilized America. And now what's going on right now is stabilized as the whole house collapses. Let's continue.
End quote. In March 2019, shortly after being sworn in as district attorney, right, Rawlins also said in an interview that she was, quote, going to battle against the U.S. attorney over three areas where she didn't think we should be prosecuting criminals at all: immigration, marijuana, and opioids.
See what I mean, y'all? Do you see what I mean? You put a judge in there who's an activist, you're destabilizing our country.
Mm-hmm.
You put someone in there that said, you know what I'm going to do? Everything that makes folks become zombies, makes folks become unproductive, makes folks become codependent, makes folks become crazy, poor, all of that. Why don't I get in there and enable that? Why don't I get in there and open up everything that allows this to take place? So yeah, go ahead. We already see folks dying from drug overdose, and yet you want to go easy on illegal immigration and the border? Where do you think those drugs are coming from? Do you think they're just growing those in Alabama somewhere? All of these opioids, they're doing it in their houses. No. So all of the areas that allow this chaos to exist in our country, this lawyer is like, let's go easy on it.
Let that sink in. The local district attorney decided that her mission was going to be to try to stop the United States attorney from doing his job and enforcing the law on matters like opioids.
Now, do the people who vote for Democrats know about this? Do the people who have kids or family members or parents that are addicted to opioids know about this when they vote for Democrats? If they really would see how much corruption and how much stupidity comes out of this party without being shielded from all of this by the corrupt liberal media, they will go, what? So the very vice that's destroying my son or daughter or my mom or dad or my cousins or my best friend, you're okay with? No, I'm not voting for any party that would support a person or nominate a person like this. But because they're bubbleheads, because they've got that puppy brain, they can't see past racism. They can't see past the shiny, glittery that they just dangle out. Oh, that looks good right there. Later on, find out, what do you mean opioids aren't being addressed? Continue, Tom.
Now she wants to be given that job in an effort to indict our entire criminal justice system as hopelessly beyond saving. Rawlins, just like Boudin and Krasner, created what they called a Truth, Justice, and Reconciliation Commission.
What's that?
In founding that organization, they wrote the following.
What?
Quote, The thing we call the justice system in the United States has been a cruel and oppressive force of injustice for all marginalized communities. Ms. Rawlins went on to say, quote, this isn't a bug in the system, but a feature. It's operating exactly the way it was designed and built to function.
See, there we go. Activists, forget the justice system. Forget law and order. Forget the Constitution. Tear that mess down. We want to burn it all down. Now, how in the world do you go and scout and, you know, kind of do a little vetting of a person like this when you're a George, you know, George of the jungle? What is it? Does he sit down with these people?
Say, first, before I give you any of my money, tell me, how evil are you? Are you willing to destroy your own country?
Yes. Yes, I am. I just want the money. I want the money. I want to be powerful. If you can help me do that, I'll destroy whatever you tell me to, George. Because that's what it appears they're doing. Are they just scouting out these people? Or do these people really believe this garbage? Do they go out and vet these activists and say, what do you feel about the way the America's justice system runs? I think it sucks. Good, good. That's what we're looking for. Are you willing to tear it down? Yes. Okay. So if we get money to help you do that and you get an office, would you do it? Yes. Yes, I would. Absolutely. I'll prostitute the heck out of myself. Just get me in. This is ridiculous, man. That's why I say, y'all, we in trouble. Wait a minute. If trouble was money, I swear we'd be a millionaire.
An indictment of the very criminal justice system she now seeks to lead on behalf of the United States.
Yeah,
but she's not just saying crazy things.
What?
She's put her pro-criminal agenda into practice.
What?
Even before she became a district attorney in Boston, she put out a list of 15 crimes that, by default, she will not allow her prosecutors to pursue without supervisor approval. That list includes things like trespassing, disorderly conduct, breaking and entering, malicious destruction of property, threat.
Y'all hearing this list of poop? This poop head right here, doo-doo head chick, RR. Here she is up here talking about some disorderly conduct. You about to tell why that's pretty cool for her, because he's going to also highlight some of her behavior too. See, so disorderly conduct. So I think, y'all, if she gets into office, we should all go and have a picnic on her lawn. Bring in some huge concert speakers. Okay, that's right. Set up a stage. And I'm talking rock and roll. I want them in there like, shout to the heart, and you're too blame, darling. You deserve a band. All night. I want them in there like, let the body hit the floor. Let the body hit the floor. All night, all day long. Rap music, throwing it away. And when she come outside and say, get off my lawn because I haven't slept in 8 days. Because y'all are being, you're trespassing. You're making so much noise, I can't sleep. You're just leaving cups all on the front of my lawn. I came down and go in my refrigerator. It was like 10 of you guys eating up all the food. Now, I want you guys gone. I'm calling the cops. No. Well, this is disorderly conduct. Why? Why is that? Why is it disorderly conduct when it impacts you? See? So this woman is saying, let's eliminate disorderly conduct, trespassing. Stuff like this, you know why she's doing this, y'all, right? Because she don't believe it will show up at her front door. That's why I say, y'all, if she get in, party on her front lawn, y'all. I'm going through all the 80s. I'm up in there like, watching the days go by. That's right. I'm up there going through all of that stuff. I said a hip-hop, a hippity-hippity-hop. I'm going through it all, y'all, every single night. Taking her to the 90s.
Take a look at me. Tell me, bubblehead, what you see.
That's what I'm doing. I'm going through all of that mess, trap music and everything. I'm in love with the cocoa. I got it on the low, low. I might go up in her bedroom and be singing right while she's trying to sleep. That's right. Yeah.
Dummy. Ooh, dummy.
Stop it.
Dummy.
Driving her crazy. Dang, go ahead.
Resisting arrest. And even drug trafficking. She has issued that list as the do not prosecute directive once she took office.
So it sounds like she's trying to turn us into a Mad Max scenario. That's what she's doing. I mean, did you like the movie that much? Did you like Mad Max so much? You say, yeah, you know what? Living in that type of apocalyptic, you know, the situation, it sounds like it would be fun. get to drive around in cars and hunt for gas and water, and pretty much can kill anybody and do whatever you want to do. That's what she wants. She wants Mad Max Road Warrior. 2 days ago, I seen the vehicle. They can hold that tank. I want to get out of here. Talk to me. That's what she wants.
That's right. In the midst of a national drug crisis with more than 90,000 of our fellow Americans killed by a drug overdose in the last year alone, Joe Biden's nominee for U.S. attorney openly says that she does not believe that we should prosecute drug possession with intent to distribute of subjects like fentanyl and heroin. Rodham likes to claim that avoiding prosecution for criminals makes them less likely to be prosecuted for crimes in the future. Circular reasoning, akin to closing your eyes to crime before excitedly declaring that you see no crime at all.
Y'all
the
hear
fact
that?
That violent
crime. Y'all hear that? So let me understand, y'all. She said that it probably would help crime go down by avoiding to prosecute crime. So when you wake up and you got some boil on your butt, or you got you a nice gash on your knee, and it starts smelling and turning green and getting pussy, no, don't you take your tail to the doctor for some antibiotics. No, no, just ignore it. That's all you do. Because I guarantee by not looking at it and believing that it's not there, it'll get better on its own.
Crime in Boston was decreasing before Rollins became DA, and now it's increased.
Increasing.
Ever since. In 2020, Boston homicides increased by 38%.
Whoa.
Drug crimes have increased as well.
I wonder why.
It's not surprising then that Rollins' jurisdiction has seen enormous increases in drug overdose deaths since she's been in office. When Rachel Rollins first became the district attorney for Suffolk County in 2019, opioid overdose deaths in Suffolk County were declining.
Just the type of go-getter we're looking for, right, guys? She's the type of go-getter that will make our country a better place.
The county's opioid overdose deaths have become the fastest growing overdose death numbers in Massachusetts, far outpacing the neighboring counties in and around Boston.
Bravo.
Ms. Rollins appears to measure success as a prosecutor not by how many victims and innocent people she protects, but rather by how many criminals she keeps from facing consequences. If she's confirmed as the U.S. attorney, the cartels and the gangs that are fueling violence and death and our communities will be gleeful.
Now, that's backwards. That right there, what he's describing, is counterproductive. So, if I'm getting this right, more criminals that go free means I am doing my job. The more chaos, the better. So, it's safe to say that the Democrats, because they nominated her and they operate just like she is, she's just a mini Democrat. That's all she is. She's a Democrat up and coming, okay? She's a baby rat. So all they're doing is sticking her in because she mirrors exactly what the whole Democrat Party mirrors on a bigger scale. They're the same way. Leave that border open. We don't care how much drugs come across the border. You know what? Let Antifa just go out. Let Black Lives Matter burn down everything, y'all. We don't care. See, so we're not upset about this lady because that lady is us. Interesting. And we're about to make another comparison, too, with our Democrats and what's going on down under.
If Rachel Rollins wants to advocate for criminals to be released instead of for the law to be enforced, there's a place for her in our government. It's called the Public Defender's Office.
That's
but with Rollins as a prosecutor in name only, the criminals have two advocates in the courtroom. The
See that? So she's wearing two hats, y'all. That's right. 1 minute, she's like, all right, hold on for a second, y'all. I'm the judge. You know what? Don't be bringing none of them cases to me. And you know what? I'm going to go ahead and decide before I even let these people come to trial that all of the things that they're doing is no longer a part of our Constitution. It's no longer illegal. It's no longer a law against it. So what? Oh, you're bringing me somebody who just acted a fool and burned down somebody's house? Hold on. Hold on. Let me put my prosecutor's hat on. Okay. Now, you say it's just a little fire that they started. That's it. Why are you bringing this to me again? I'm not going to prosecute that. Get away with that. Get it out of my face, okay? Let me put my judge hat back on. That's what she is. This chick right here is double-dutching all over the line. She knows that if she can stop all of this crap from even getting to the judge, they can continue and finish destroying our country.
Prosecution and the defense, while the victims of crime would have none. And finally, I just want to mention that it's not just horror. Radical pro-crime stances that make her unsuited for this office.
What else is it?
She also appears to have a serious lack of judgment and temperament problems as well.
Temperament.
In one totally bizarre episode, Boston media reported an apparent instance of road rage by Ms. Rollins in a shopping mall parking lot on Christmas Eve last year. According to a complaint filed with the Boston Police Department against Ms. Rollins, she tried to use her SUV to force another vehicle out of the merge lane, threatened to write the driver a ticket, turned on her sirens, which I don't know why a prosecutor has in the first place, and then sped on through a red light. Then when a local...
That sounds like government overreach. That sounds like abusing your position of power. That sounds like disorderly conduct. So this chick was in a parking lot, got mad, stepped on the gas, tried to run somebody over or off the road. And when they questioned her, she going to tell them about themselves? She flipped on her little lights while she got those. Have y'all ever seen a prosecutor riding around and got their own personal car with some lights on? And then ran a red light too, y'all.
Local news crew tried to ask Ms. Rollins about the incident 2 weeks later.
What?
She responded by threatening the news crew on video, saying, quote, I'll call the police on you and make an allegation, and we'll see how that works with you.
So not only is she a corrupt politician, but she's a caring corrupt politician. Interesting. A lawless, law-breaking, enabling, raggedy, snaggy-tooth, backstabbing, two-faced, two-bit, no-good-having, pepper-tooth, peanut-butter-tooth, butter-tooth, okay, prosecutor that now is getting nominated, and here she is threatening the press that when Trump would say anything negative about, they would all come out like, this is an attack on the free press. Well, why aren't they saying that about her? Interesting.
Later tried to justify this by saying she thought the news camera was a weapon. It is a truly bizarre case. It's just another example of how far outside the mainstream this nominee is. Her personal judgment is in question, but there's no question that her professional judgment is terrible.
Yes, it is. And her lying skills are too. You're trying to tell me that this woman, when the press came up with those big behind cameras that they carry, they're not walking around with no small cell phones. Last I checked, cameras don't look like this. They don't look like, they're not shaped like this. So let me get this straight. You abuse your privilege. You threaten the press. And when they call you on it, or that big old thing that guy, I thought it was a rocket launcher. I thought it was RPG. Because, cameramen don't carry big, bulky-looking things on their shoulder like that. And they don't show up with microphones and stuff like that. I thought they were terrorists with an RPG on their shoulder. So therefore, yes, I did threaten. But that was a mistake. And they're trying to put her in power. This is what I mean. Government overreach. Now, what am I talking about? They're putting people in that can get away with going overboard, with being okay with changing all of our norms, which would be okay for them violating our personal rights, the Bill of Rights, the constitutional rights. They like these people. They like them. They like all of these folks who's willing to look the other way or even in some cases advocate for policies that are going totally against the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. Lawless. But wait a minute, y'all, speaking of government overreach, listen to what they're up to now.
Merrick Garland is instructing the FBI to consider parents who oppose critical race theory to be domestic terrorists.
No way.
So you, do you have kids out there? You listeners? Something tells me if you're listening to this show, you probably don't think all that favorably of critical race theory. You probably don't support it being taught in schools.
Yeah.
Well, you, in the eyes of Merrick Garland's Department of Justice, are a domestic terrorist.
Wow.
The order that comes out, let's see, do I have a copy of the order? Yes,
let's hear it. Let's hear it, Michael.
Memorandum from the Attorney General. In recent months, there's been a disturbing spike in harassment, intimidation, threats of violence against school administrators, board members, teachers, and staff who participate in the vital work of running our nation's public schools, the vital work that we shut down for a year over a cough.
Yeah.
While spirited cough that didn't pose any particular threat to children.
Not at all.
While spirited debate about policy matters is protected under our Constitution, that protection does not extend to threats of violence or efforts to intimidate individuals based on their views.
Oh.
Threats against public servants are not only illegal, they run counter to our nation's core values.
Excuse me, teacher, as you're reading that. Anybody listening to this, can you see the real goal and motive that's hidden between all of that legal jargon that they're trying to do. You see how they mix in truth with lies. You see how they conflate issues. Do you think the real goal and objective is to stop people from threatening these school administrators? Do you think that's the real problem? Do you think all of these mothers and fathers that are showing up there, letting them have it verbally and going viral by exposing their diabolical scheme to indoctrinate our kids, do you think any of that is a threat to their bodily harm? No. That's a threat to their agenda. That's a threat to their ego. By getting up there and having the freedom to speak out against this nonsense, it's messing them up. It's highlighting how stupid they are, how corrupt they are. So we need a plan to stop these people from saying these things. So why don't we mix in verbiage in this that makes it appear that all we're really doing is trying to keep people safe. And these people who are trying to do their job are intimidated. They're afraid. Do you think those mothers are like, we're going to show up at your house tonight and bust your skull open? Why aren't they writing up these things about Antifa and the crew? I think that's real intimidation when folks are sitting down eating at restaurants and folks run up in there talking about some, say, Breonna Taylor's name. Say Black Lives Matter. I think that's pretty intimidating. So now they're going to go ahead and just focus on that part of their this new written policy, okay? No, we're saying like, you know, no, we don't want folks getting threatened and scared. Now, I didn't watch not one clip of these parents threatening anybody, not one. So the way you get around debate, the way you get your agenda across and passed against the will of the people is you start saying things like hate speech. We don't like hate speech now is violent. Yeah. Now, when you start saying speech in opposition that might hurt someone's feelings, might embarrass them, it's threatening. It's violent to them. Therefore, we're going to mix that in with, you know, our other elements of hurting people, physical harm and all that, because you don't have to just physically harm someone. Did you know that? Did you know just saying hurtful things can harm them? Pretty trick. Pretty clever trick. Let's
now, see. It's all about these threats. Really, it's called the Matt Walsh memo. Right. This is don't show up to the school district and tell them what you want. This is a threat and it's domestic terror and we got to stop it.
Yeah.
Something tells me Merrick Garland would not have sent out such a memo over the BLM riots. BLM, which was actually not just threatening people, but actually killing people and stealing their property and burning down their homes and businesses and attacking federal courthouses. You probably wouldn't. But you, suburban mom who doesn't want your kid being fed this racial and sexual poison in the schools,
don't like your kind.
That all white people are evil and that America's an evil place and that boys can be girls and that boys should mutilate themselves if they feel like girls when they're 4 years old or something. If you oppose that, you're the terrorist.
Right.
You're
right.
The threat. It's such a charade.
Yeah.
It's such a farce.
Y'all see? Y'all hear that? So if I'm getting this straight, these leaders in these areas was getting destroyed because I watched the videos. Did y'all? Every single time, black parents come in there, mothers come in there, minorities come in there, white folks, even some of the kids who oppose this, would get up and whip their tails verbally and expose them and show what they're up to. And they called up to the White House like, all right, the plan and agenda is not going accordingly. We thought we can hide it. We thought that the kids would be quiet. We thought we can go ahead and not let the parents know. But apparently they got wind of it and they're showing up and they're exposing our corruption. Is there any additional help you can give us so we don't have to deal with these knuckleheads that we don't like and despise? Yes. I will write up something that will allow us to intimidate the parents by leaving it very vague of what we mean when we say intimidation, threats. Leave it very vague. In other words, let's do what we're doing to these parents as the same thing we're doing to Trump folks who want to go to a rally or a protest. Now all of a sudden you're scared to go because you're wondering, is this guy next to me an FBI plant? You're scared to go because you're wondering, is this a psychop? Is this a red flag, false flag scenario? See, that's what they're hoping to do. So in other words, even if we don't do anything to you, we want to plant the seed in your head that will make you hesitate to get involved. Because you now have seen what they've done on the 6th and what they attempted to do a couple weeks ago and what they're now trying to do with the parents. They're just duplicating it on down the line. government overreach right there. But now they sent somebody from the White House to talk about it at Congress, and now this lady got to sound dumb trying to defend it. Here we go.
Ms. Monaco, I want to come back to this extraordinary letter, the memorandum that the Attorney General of the United States issued yesterday. Practically every day brings new reports about this administration weaponizing the federal bureaucracy to go after political opponents. Frankly, I don't think we've ever seen anything like it in American history.
Never, ever.
I mean, for those of us who missed the McCarthy era, I guess this president is intent on bringing it to us, but with new force and new power and new urgency, unlike anything we've ever seen. Are you aware of any time in American history when an attorney general has directed the FBI to begin to intervene in school board meetings, local school board meetings?
I'm not aware, and I'm not aware that is not going on.
What?
Let me be very,
really,
very
clear. Isn't about local school board meetings? That's not the subject of the memorandum? I thought that was in the memorandum.
Yeah,
the memorandum is quite clear. It's one page, and it asks the U.S. attorney community and the FBI special agents in charge to convene state and local law enforcement partners to ensure that there's an open line of communication to address threats, to address violence.
Oh, okay.
That's the appropriate role of the Department of Justice to make sure that we are addressing criminal conduct and violence.
It's simple, guys. Don't get all up in a tizzy. All we're doing is just saying, hey, local, you know, police and stuff, if you get wind of one of these parents, you know, that might not like critical race theory, any of these parents that might oppose you stuffing a diaper on their kid's face that's in the second grade or something like that, if you get wind of any of that, just give us a call and we'll start opening up investigations on the opposition and just call them all radicals, see? Because when you come up with new terms to define people that simply oppose you and you just slap a label of radical extremist on them, that gives us a right now to intimidate and threaten them. That's all we want. That's all we really want. But no, I'm not going to tell you that. I'm going to focus on the physical violence against them. So let's hear her try to package this up, and this dude sees right through this dude.
At local school board meetings, let me just ask you this. Is parents waiting sometimes for hours to speak at a local school board meeting to express concerns about critical race theory or the masking of their students, particularly young children, is that in and of itself, is that harassment and intimidation? Is waiting to express one's view at a school board meeting harassment and intimidation?
As the Attorney General's memorandum made quite clear, spirited debate is welcome, is a hallmark of this country. It's something we all should engage in.
No, I don't think so, Ms. Monaco. With all due respect, it didn't make it quite clear. It doesn't define those terms, nor does it define harassment or intimidation. It talks about violence.
On purpose. Y'all know what I mean? It doesn't define those on purpose. That is why the Democrats are always talking about hate speech, because it doesn't define what hate speech is. It gives them the freedom to make it up as they go. That's why they're always talking about systemic racism, because you can't really locate it. You can't find it. It now becomes an invisible weapon that they could just magically pull out their bag of tricks when it's applicable. That is why they create this vagueness in regards to all of these topics. We don't want to get really definitive on what we declare to be violent, hate speech, all that stuff, because then you'll see through our diabolical scheme. So here we go, y'all, because he sees through it. So do I.
I think we can agree that violence shouldn't be condoned or looked aside from in any way, swept under the rug at all. But harassment and intimidation, what did those terms mean in the context of a local school board meeting? Mm-hmm. I mean, this seems to be in the First Amendment context, we talk about the chill to speech. If this isn't a deliberate attempt to chill parents from showing up at school board meetings for their elected school boards, I don't know what is.
Y'all hear that? Let's chill. Let's not show up at these board meetings. Let's just stay home. Let's chill. Let's chill. Let's stay at home. Forget all that protesting. That's what they want. They want us to stay at the crib and chill. See, so it will accomplish a goal without having to go in and do stuff. When folks start saying, I would go, but I don't want to accidentally be in a group of people who all get, people said, that microphone, the microphone gag hits the spot every time. Yeah, because you never know where I'm coming out with it. And I don't either. It drops in my brain right there on the spot, like a Tetris block. Now, so that's the goal. It's you send a psychological message to everyone. Listen to your parents. You can go ahead. Show up if you want, but you never know. You might find yourself on the opposite end of our terrorist watch. Yeah, you might find yourself in there with the Taliban. That's right. Oh, wait. No, they're our friends now. They're our friends now, according to this administration. So, yeah, you're worse. You're worse than the Taliban.
I mean, I'm not aware of anything like this in American history. We're talking about the FBI. You're using the FBI to intervene in school board meetings. That's extraordinary.
Senator, I have to respectfully disagree. That is not what...
Point me to an instance.
The Attorney General's memorandum made quite clear that violence is not appropriate. Spirited public debate on a whole range of issues is absolutely what this country is all about.
Oh.
Then why is it being investigated by the FBI?
It is not. When and if any... situation.
A lot of ums and ahs, y'all. She's walking through this statement very carefully so it don't come back to bite her. She's tiptoeing around what they really are up to. It's not, I don't know if I say that. That'll get me in trouble. You know what?
Turns to violence, then that is the appropriate role of law enforcement to address it.
The memorandum covers more than violence. It talks about intimidation. It talks about harassment. So I'm asking you to draw some lines. We do this all the time in the First Amendment context.
Lock her down.
This is the sum and substance of First Amendment law. So I expect that she'll be available and willing to do it now. Tell me where the line is.
Here it is.
With parents expressing their concerns, waiting for hours in the school board meetings. We've all seen the videos. This happened in my state. Parents have waited for hours. Sometimes the school board meetings have been ended before they can speak because the school board doesn't want to hear it. And now parents are told that if they wait and they express their views, that they may be investigated for intimidation?
Yeah, that's a scary thought.
I don't know who's telling them that.
You.
Senator, the
you.
Job of the Justice Department is to investigate crimes. When a situation turns to violence, when and if a situation turns to violence, it's the job of the Justice Department.
She's doing it again, y'all. She's doing it again. Trying to get right back on the point that skirts around the major point. The major point is those other issues you're saying that you're lumping in with violence. So intimidation, threats, stuff like that. That's vague. So she is wanting us to just, because she thinks we're bubbleheads, she thinks we're dumb. We're not Democrats. We're not bubbleheads in our society. That's, yeah, you see what she's trying to do? She's simply trying to stop violent attacks on these people who just want to do their job. No, their goal is to stop opposition. Their goal is to stop folks from speaking out against this mess. So you slam it in there with violence, but you're really not focused on the violence because I haven't heard of one violent attack against any of these school board members. They're not reaching out to the DOJ because of, man, I walked in my car and these group of parents, man, was out there with their, you know, their suburban rollers that they use to make pies and stuff and their water hoses when they wore, you know, do their lawns. And one of them even had, I think it was something like a pitchfork or something that he was gardening with. And they all attacked me while I was in my car. Haven't heard any of that. So then why would you even include violence attacks on these school employees? Now, they're all union. You got to understand that. These are all public-run schools that support the Democrat Party. This ain't coming out from people that's at Catholic schools or private schools, charter schools. These are school boards that are union-controlled, and Democrats are all in that mix. So they're now saying, hey, help us out here. We need y'all to start demonizing these parents and overreach and overstep your power to help us help you with this agenda. And I see it and I'm calling that crap out. Let's go.
And local law enforcement to address that. The Attorney General's memorandum simply asked the U.S. Attorney community, the FBI, and their counterparts to ensure that state and local law enforcement has an open line of communication to report threats, whether they happen in the context of election officials being threatened, whether they haven't happened in the context of members of Congress being threatened, which the FBI responds to on a regular basis, as
do
is
they?
Appropriate.
Do they? Because I watch Black Lives Matter, and I watch Antifa throw a whole heap of threats out there. And I don't recall the FBI investigating them. Mm-hmm. And you know what else kind of bothers me about what this lady's talking about? And I'll finish in a second. I'm going to talk about that. So the FBI, she's trying to pretend that no, we just want to coordinate with local police. So the local police can't handle this? You're telling me some mysterious threats or bodily harm is being done to these local board members. And instead of these local board members calling their local police force to investigate it, this now has to be escalated all the way up to the FBI. So Johnson here has no power. Hey, Johnson, you've been an investigator in this local area for 30 years. You saw so many cases. We just had a couple board members call in, and apparently some harsh words were said to them, and they resisted critical race theory, and they didn't like their kids being forced to shove a mask on their face. So therefore, they're saying that their feelings are hurt, their agenda's being compromised, and it's hate speech, and they want you to investigate it for violent attacks on them. Well, I'm not going to do that because no one was touched, so these people better shut up. Oh, that's why you don't want to just rely on the local police force. We want to get the federals involved. We want to go ahead and take these institutions and federalize all of this because, see, then this way, the government has control on all of these individual issues. See, we want to get in y'all mix. Government overreach.
The Justice Department is to address criminal conduct.
He's mad.
You know, all I can say is this is truly extraordinary. I think you know it is. It's unprecedented. You can't point to a single instance where anything like this has happened before. And I think parents across this country are going to be stunned to learn.
Yep.
Stunned.
Yep.
That if they show up at a local school board meeting, by the way, where they have the right to appear and be heard, where they have the right to say something about their children's education, where they have the right to vote, and you are attempting to intimidate them.
Yeah,
you
like
are
I
attempting
am.
To silence them. Uh-huh. You are attempting to interfere with their rights as parents and, yes, with their rights as voters. This is wrong. This is dangerous.
Yes.
And I cannot believe that an attorney general of the United States
yes.
is engaging in this kind of conduct. And
Over.
Frankly, I can't believe that you are sitting here today defending it. I intend to get answers to these questions. You won't answer my questions. I'm going to get answers to these questions. Mr. Chairman, we need to have a hearing on this subject.
Yeah.
We need to hear from the attorney general
yes.
himself. He needs to come here,
right
take
now.
The oath,
like
sit there, and answer questions. We have never seen anything like
my
this before in our country's history. And frankly, I want to say I think it is a dangerous, dangerous precedent.
Me too. See, and this is exactly what I'm talking about. You want to talk about some hate speech? Y'all are using hate speech to make us not use hate speech. Y'all sitting back talking about something. If you got the nerve to go in that mug, about what do you mean my kids need to sit there and listen to you call them white nationalists and all of that stuff? So what the FBI is doing is hitting us with the playground tactics, y'all, the intimidation, the pump fake. Yeah, flinch, man. Why you jumping? Why you jumping, man? Stop playing, man. You play too much. Yeah, I thought so. Hey, put your hands down, dog. That's what they're doing. They've been doing it to conservatives that are going out protesting or object to whatever is going on in the local area or the national level, and now they're doing it to the parents. And this is a recipe to duplicate itself all over the country. These are tactics, Marxist, socialist tactics of getting their will across by using these powerful institutions to come up with new guidelines, new laws, new demonizations, new definitions of this and new, you know, categories of this, to label all of the folks who won't go along with their agenda. And now all of a sudden we got to investigate you. So one of two things will take place. Either your butt will not listen and find yourself in jail somehow for God knows how long, or you'll get quiet and won't speak out. Those are the two options that they want to come down. Either you end up like these folks in January, they just walked around a couple of hours looking around stuff. You'll end up in jail. Or you'll stay at home. That's the goal. But guys, more overreach. See, tonight we're talking about government overreach. And I hope that Americans see this, man, because we are, boy, We're in trouble.
We want to get to the IRS snooping on you. The White House is looking to force banks to report personal bank transactions of at least $600 to help pay for the massive spending package. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen promoting the idea, saying that it would reveal opaque income streams that disproportionately accrue to the top. Thomas, it's great to have you this morning. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me. I'm glad to join you.
This is an extraordinary debacle where you've got the president and the Treasury Secretary pushing this idea that banks should report transactions of $600.
Wow.
Give us your sense and your reaction to this.
Well, I think it's a dangerous idea for several reasons. But number one, it is an incredible invasion of privacy. It allows it requires banks to forward information, account transactions over the course of a year that's as little as $600. They talked about raising it to $10,000, which is a little consequence. It'd still be incredibly intrusive. And it's a massive search without a search warrant. I hate to say that.
Thank you. Somebody said, God bless America. You're right about that. God bless America, my home, did they try to take her, sweet home. I'm sorry, y'all. I like for y'all to see me cry and get emotional. So if I'm getting this straight, they want to weaponize now the IRS, government overreach. So do all the bubbleheads that voted for Biden notice? So go ahead, take your raggedy tail out and got the nerve to purchase a new lawnmower, you got to give an account. You better stay under 600. I don't care if it's 601. I could get that really fancy one for $2 more, but that would that'll take me over 599, which would kind of send a flag to the IRS, and then Joe Biden and all of them would be in my mix. I don't want them to freeze my assets and stuff. So, yeah, I'll take the one that's way worse than that one, that I could get that for just $2 more, but I don't want them knowing what I'm buying. Do all the idiots know about this? But yet, 81 million votes. Yeah, that's right. Please, government overreach. What is this? This lady right here, y'all, she really brings it home, man. Oh, you know what? She about to make me fall in love with her. Look at this, y'all. Here we go.
Kim, tell us what's on your radar.
Yeah, Kim, tell us.
During the Me Too movement, numerous people were confused as to why a woman would ever feel pressured to sleep with her boss to keep a job. For many, the solution was simple. Just quit. It seems so easy. Obviously, if your employer is pressuring you to do something you're not comfortable with, find a new employer. But for the person making these statements, have they ever dealt with the stress and anxiety of losing a job and having no idea how they're going to pay next month's bills, or being faced with the job of their dreams or a career they've worked for, they've worked years for, only to have one single demand from one single employer in one single moment threaten it all? People's advice is to just quit. Seem to think the woman being forced is someone who is working a minimum wage job at a restaurant or a retail store, which can easily be replaced by simply looking in the help wanted ads.
Y'all hear that? Now she's building her argument. She's building the case because you know the Democrats love the Me Too. Now somebody said cash. You are right about that. Because I'm going to be honest with you, y'all. We don't know what the future holds, man. When it comes down to this administration, they might wake up like most dictators and decide today, you know what, I just want to have everyone under 3 years old killed. You know what, right now I'm just thinking that anybody that's 5'7" might need to be taken off into a concentration camp. So we don't know. So honestly, before they do away with cash, man, I don't want them knowing how much I buy things for. And what if I want to go out and buy me a new man gun? Okay. And it's over $600. Yeah, you know, you keep purchasing these man weapons. I'm a little concerned. Like this one. Mm-hmm. Oh, wait. I better not show it on video. But, yeah. See, I might get in trouble. Well, okay. My disclaimer, this is unloaded. I'm not promoting violence or any of this stuff. It's a nice, brand new, long shotgun. So I can go out and shoot with those things. Pull, shoot. Yeah. Now, I don't want the man knowing about my nice new fancy shotgun that I want to shoot clay pigeons with. I don't want that. So I'm telling, I'm going to start just taking everything out and burying it in the backyard like our grandfathers and grandmothers did. Nice jelly jar. put that cap on it and get to digging. You got to do it late at night so your nosy neighbors don't know. And then mark it with X. Okay, that's what I'm going to do. No, I ain't waiting on the government to leave. Anyway, let me hear.
And in many instances, this is true. Women in all sorts of jobs are being sexually harassed at work every day. Yeah. And maybe in today's job economy, it would be easy for these women to quit since there are so many businesses looking to hire.
Right.
But what about the woman who has earned her college degree in a specialized field, working for a specialized company in a specialized position? If her boss tells her she must do something personally that she doesn't want to do or lose her job, what realistically are her options? This is how the Me Too movement came about.
Right.
Women in highly competitive and specialized jobs were being asked to do something they didn't want to do or lose either the chance at a job or the current job they were already in.
So I see where she's going, y'all. If y'all following her, y'all see the setup? She's about to expose the hypocrisy of the Democrats. She's about to double trap them. See, because those issues that they focus on, and all of the arguments and claims, just like when they're talking about, you can't decide what a woman does with her body. Yeah, see? And why she go have 18 abortions after 9 months if she wants to. You're not the boss of her. Now all of a sudden, you can't decide what you do with your body. Your choice not to get the mots infringes upon my rights, even though I got the mots and I wear my mask all day. But still, you can't make that choice. You see? You see where I'm going with this, right? You see where she's going with it. So all of those people arguing that women who have spent so much time building their career and then feel like they don't have an option because the guy in their field is going, hey, toots, come here for a minute. Yeah, look at this girl. Isn't she a fine broad? Yeah, she's a great-looking dame, isn't she? All right, go get me some coffee. All of those folks who experienced that crap and going, man, I would leave, but right now, this is my only gig. Yep, this is exactly what they're going to do to all of these other folks right now. Let's see. Here we go.
Admittedly, it's easier to walk away from a job you're just interviewing for and dreaming about. But what about a job you already have? And this one person is threatening it based on this one action you don't want to do but are being forced to do.
She's doing it.
Sexual harassment might be hard for some to grasp, but many are getting a dose of this version right now in regards to vaccine mandates.
What?
In recent weeks, numerous people have been forced to choose between their job or their bodily autonomy. And it isn't easy to just say, I quit.
Nope.
Doctors, airline pilots, lawyers, contractors, news anchors, teachers, and more are being told they need to get the vaccine despite any of their personal objections or lose their job.
Huh. So wait, lady, are you telling me a man who is an airplane pilot for Boeing that's been flying for years, don't want to quit his job and go and work on a jackhammer? You mean to tell me that nurse who spent 30 years don't want to go out there and work in the coal mine? What? You got to be kidding me. You mean to tell me that person out there that's been teaching for 20 years and about 5 years away from retiring, if they don't go get the mots, they would be upset to now have to switch careers and go out there and start learning how to program?
Okay, where's the mouse?
Ethel, we don't have mice anymore, okay? And I don't even know if you're talking about a real mouse or the mouse. You know what? Never mind. Here, Ethel, let's keep trying. This right here is a cursor.
I know how to write in cursive.
No, you know what? Never mind. Ethel, why don't you just retire?
Oh, I was going to do it, but they forced me to get that thing that I didn't want, so I got fired.
What is Ethel going to do, y'all? What is Ethel going to do?
And for many, getting a new job doesn't solve the problem when every other employer in their field will tell them the exact same thing.
Thank you.
For these people, the choice is to get an entirely new career, one that will likely bring in less, which could cause them to lose their homes, amongst other things, or do this one simple thing with their bodies they don't really want to do. It will be quick, nearly painless, and over before you know it.
Sounds familiar, right? Harvey Weinstein. Hey, look, with all that taco meat on his fat, disgusting bubblegum body.
Yeah. Let me take off my suede robe. Let you know, this right here is going to be over quick, right before you know it.
So what? I don't care if it's 13 seconds. That's 13 seconds too long for me to let your slime ball butt touch all over me. But yet, this is, you know, what they're telling folks. Look, I mean, just get the, you know what, John Travolta, just get the shot.
Said Harvey Weinstein. Yesterday, talk show host Tim Pool tweeted out, "No one who claims to oppose vaccine mandates who then went and got vaccinated due to their fear of losing their job or money actually opposes mandates." Now, Tim was met with backlash from many people who expressed the sentiment that when a person is faced with doing something they don't want to do or feeding their families and keeping their homes, they'll choose to feed their families and keep the roof over their heads.
And that's the dilemma. And I was talking to somebody about that today. So the one guy, he went out there and he said, anybody who messed around and caved and went and got the shot, they're not really opposed to mandates. Now, I get what he's saying. And that is why I pray and wish that folks in this dilemma will hold the line. I really do. But I'm also empathetic enough to understand you don't know what's going on in people's individual lifestyles. So let's just say you are a doctor or a nurse or somebody like that, and you got a child who needs insulin. You got a child who needs whatever, and your company is taking care of all of that through insurance. But when other folks are relying on you, what the? Caesar, shut up. Caesar, he gets all the dogs going. But when other folks are relying on you and you're hit with this dilemma that can compromise them, that now presents a new issue, a new obstacle, a new argument. And now a lot of folks will just go, man, even though I don't want to do this, my kid missed his insulin. I mean, and understand, when I talk about government overreach, imagine them starting to even get their hands into the medical field. Like, you know what, Caesar, that dog with those big old Dumbo ears, he hears everything. And then he starts barking, oh, for nothing. He's going to make me come in there. You're going to make, if I have to get up out this chair, y'all might witness something y'all don't want to hear. Now, getting back to this. So when you got situations like that that's going on in people's lives, now they got to make some choices. So if they make the choice to walk away from the job, who knows who pays the price of that? So my gut tells me that once they get entrenched in Medicaid and all the other options that might even be secondary options for these people who make that choice, when they start saying, well, because you made that choice, we can't give you this, we can't service you, our government assistance cannot accommodate you, sorry, but when you walked away from that job and didn't get the, you know what, you kind of eliminated your options for any, you know, government assistance too. Now imagine being faced with that. You're talking about them setting up a scenario that will force almost anybody to go towards that direction. And knowing that if we can prolong this before the courts really get involved, by that time, we will have a large majority of folks who couldn't withstand the amount of time and duration to wait on the court to make a decision. So forget it. If we get 10 or 15% left over and some holdouts, that's okay. If we can accomplish 90% of our goal. You see what I'm saying? When I said let's start the show tonight talking about government overreach, I see the way they do. I see their strategy. I see it. I'm just here to let y'all know because y'all see it too probably. Let's continue this woman's wonderful dialogue because she's making me love her.
People are not nihilistic by nature. People will tolerate doing things they don't want to do if it means keeping the things they care about or have worked hard for. And for most people, if it means giving up their bodily autonomy and doing something they don't really want to do for a brief moment, they will unfortunately do it. Now, obviously, hanging a job over a person's head is effective. Many who are in favor of vaccine mandates are celebrating this. New York Times' Noam Scheiber writes, United COVID vaccine mandate has been remarkably effective. Fewer than 250 out of approximately 67,000 had not complied as of yesterday.
Y'all hear that, y'all? They're boasting as if folks willfully and gleefully came and got the mocks. Yeah, that right there is an oxymoron. You know what? These mandates, vaccine mandates, have been effective. We're proud of our work. Look at all these people who just volunteered and came down and got it. So what happens if you didn't mandate it? Would they all still be running down there to get it? See, this right here is propaganda. This right here is gaslighting. They're so dumb. They don't realize they undercut their whole narrative of it being successful. It's not successful if you make folks do something. You know what? My 18 wives that their fathers sold to me, because I live in a tyrannical country. I gave him 18 cattle and 75 sheep for this new wife I have. And she loves me. She loves me. Does she? Or does she have to tolerate you because y'all got forced into a relationship? She better smile and like it. She better act like, yes, whatever you like. That's not real love. But yet, here she is. These people put this out like y'all should celebrate this mess. Look at this. I mean, it's working. Everybody likes it.
Sure. Obviously, if you force people to choose between their livelihood or doing something they are opposed to, they'll usually choose the path of least resistance. And unfortunately, in these scenarios, a brief moment of physical discomfort, which may or may not have lasting consequences, seems to be easier than the choice of losing a job and being guaranteed to have to deal with an immense amount of stress and anxiety, in some cases, total ruin. So yes, coercion works, but is it ethical? What choice does a person really have when told by a person in power that they must do something with their body they don't want to do or face dire consequences? Having food on the table and a roof over one's head are essential. They aren't luxuries. So it isn't truly a choice if one is being threatened in this way.
She's keeping it real, y'all. I love her argument, the way she built her case, set it up, made a wonderful comparison. She might make me love her. She might make me do something I don't do normally.
Hey. Unfortunately, when it comes to both the Me Too movement and the vaccine mandate, people on both sides of the aisle claim the choice is easy. Just quit, depending on which topic we are discussing and which side of the aisle the other person happens to be on. But the reality is, quitting is often not that easy.
Girl, you know what? She gonna make me sing to her. Somebody give me excuse to sing that song. I'm like, if she makes me love her enough, I get to sing Kiss. Yeah, man. But wait. There's more government overreach? You got to be kidding me. We just went through several areas, y'all. Folks overreaching and all kind of making us get to, you know what, forcing folks out their job, scaring parents from being resistful towards and critical race theory. They're in all of it. So now we get into another area that they all in our group. Well, listen to this guy.
Gather for Christmas, or it's just too soon to tell?
You know what? You know, Margaret, it's just too soon to tell. We've just got to concentrating on continuing to get those numbers down.
Who is this who speaks to me? As if I needed his opinion. Funky Fauci got the nerve to decide whether it's just too soon to tell whether we can have Christmas or not. That's not overreach, is it? Is it? I'm pretty sure we're used to medical, because maybe he's the president now. I mean, I'm wondering. Probably, honestly. At this point, we don't know who's the president. Could be him. Could be Obama. Could be Nancy Pelosi. But this idiot has the nerve. It's too soon to, right. Who in the are you, man? You don't have the scepter of America. We do. Okay, unbelievable that he has the gonads to even weigh in on this. He should be like, you know what, it's not for me to say. It's for everyone to make their own decisions because I'm not the boss of anybody. But that's what he does. Oh, listen to this, y'all.
Our data from the CDC today suggests, that vaccinated people do not carry the virus, don't get sick, and that it's not just in the clinical trials, but it's also in real-world data.
That was
reports from our international colleagues, including Israel, suggests increased risk of severe disease amongst those vaccinated early.
Wait a minute.
Given this body of evidence, we are concerned that the current strong protection against severe infection, hospitalization, and death could decrease in the months ahead, especially among those who are at higher risk or who were vaccinated earlier during the phases of our vaccination.
Now, is that disinformation? Misinformation. I mean, just a second ago, we heard a whole different story. Just like Funky Fauci, we heard a whole different story. There's no reason to wear a mask up. Now you need eight masks. A little bit ago, if you have the shot, you're completely protected and nothing could ever happen to you. You're immune to everything now. You'll never get sick again and live forever. Wait a minute. If you got it now, people that don't get it is going to kill you. You can die still from it. And yet, she's not removed off of YouTube. Fauci's not removed off of it. And all those that were right about things that have been snatched off, suppressed, flagged, nothing. They don't unflag them. They're not going to take back all of those days that they shut my channel down when I disagreed with some of this stuff. And then it turned out that I was right. Well, the reason they're not going to do that is because they never even told me exactly what I said that wasn't right. They're operating like the Democrats. We don't want you to know what hate speech is. Then you can lock us down and hold us accountable. We don't want you to know what really systemic racism is. Then you might start calling us to the carpet and saying, that doesn't meet that description, see. We don't know what extremism really means, okay? Because then you might start saying, well, wait a minute. That's not what category I fall into. So here we go again, too, with this whole, you know what? We are all over the board. And if we decide what you said is too impacting and it's starting to spread too far and people are starting to listen to you, Nicki Minaj, all of those folks, if it's too far, then we'll go ahead and say, we got to shut you down, but we're not going to really tell you why. So if you're huge like Nicki, oops, it was just a mistake. If you're Kevin from Kevin's Corner, we ain't got to explain to you, man. We just giving you a lockdown for 7. Your problem is you're a free thinker. That's your punishment. That's what you said wrong. And guys, it don't just stop here because now we got to go where y'all? I come from a land down under. We're going down under. You talk about government overreach, and the reason I'm about to let y'all hear these things is because what's happening down there is trying to march its raggedy tail right up here into the United States. So let's go down under, starting off with someone who recognizes what's going on.
There's a great attack ad right now on one of the real conservatives out there, Ron DeSantis. Take a listen to this attack ad. Tell me if it makes you more or less likely to vote for Ron DeSantis.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of your cabin crew, we'd like to inform you that we have officially entered Florida airspace. Now that we're making our final descent, please watch this short message from Governor Ron DeSantis on COVID-19. Thereafter, everyone on board will be required to comply with the state's forever purge.
We are not doing any vaccine passports in the state of Florida. We trust people to make their own decisions in this state. We are not going to be bludgeoning people.
Wait a minute, y'all. I came to see a scary movie. Now, you telling me, as I'm listening to the intro of this scary movie, I'm hearing all this scary music. Right now, I'm hearing. I'm hearing Freddie's voice and laugh in the background. I'm your boyfriend now, Nancy. I'm hearing all of that. And yet, as the movie starts, this man comes out talking about making your own choices and stuff. I thought he was going to come out like Joe Biden came out, like, listen, we've been patient with you guys, but guess what? Our patience is running out. That's scary sounding. Not what this guy's saying.
Mandates, lockdowns, or any of that stuff.
As Governor DeSantis stated, while you're within state lines, you do not have to wear a mask. You do not have to get a vaccine. It is against the law for private businesses or schools.
You know what? This is the dumbest. This shows how dumb liberals are. No wonder they can't meet. They put this out as a hit piece against Ron DeSantis. You know what? All this is doing is making everybody that disagrees with this real tyrannical institution that they have set up in America, run down there. All you did is got a bullhorn and said, everybody who wants freedom and believes in the American way, come on down to Florida. Underneath our scary soundtrack. These dudes are full-blown delusional. They are so dumb. Every time I read their memes and them trying to crack jokes, I just be like, crickets, crickets. So now this scary movie and this scary commercial and all the music and stuff is making me want to go to Florida.
To mandate masks for vaccines. And you have the absolute right to infect whoever you want, whenever.
That sounds like freedom to me. That sounds like America. I love it, man. And you have the absolute right to do whatever you want. Go where you want. Man, I'm thinking, did somebody punk them? Did the person who came up with this commercial and wrote it, are they getting trolled? How did this even get passed to be released by these, evil actors who wanted this to be done? I mean, surely when they watched it, they go, this is not really what we were looking for, going for. It sounds kind of like a commercial for Ron DeSantis, and it sounds like you're kind of praising him. That's what it sounds like. I'm encouraged. I feel the necessity to go to Florida now. Let's hear that again, just a little bit. Okay, I'm back up here.
You do not have to get a vaccine. It is against the law for private businesses or schools to mandate masks for vaccines. And you have the absolute right to exact whoever you want, whenever, and wherever, with COVID-19.
What? No! Ron DeSantis said that he trusts people to make their own decisions.
Yeah.
No. People can't. The fact that someone would push this out there as an attack ad, I wouldn't be surprised if Ron DeSantis secretly funded this to make him look cooler. Okay, the fact that a group put this out there and thinks that this is an attack ad, that Ron DeSantis is going to let people make their own decisions, not have everyone muzzle themselves and live in fear, shows you just how radically differently the two sides see the world.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you right now, I enjoyed that attack ad, y'all. That might have been the best attack ad that I've seen in a long time. And that attack ad encouraged me to go ahead and head down south. But let's hear from the man himself, because he's about to focus on something that's going on in this world that's crazy. And I'm talking about the land down under.
You guys, look what's going on in Australia right now. They're enforcing, after a year and a half, they're still enforcing lockdowns by the military, and that's not a free country. It's not a free country at all. In fact, I mean, I wonder why we would still, have the same diplomatic relationship when they're doing that. I mean, is Australia freer than China, communist China right now? I don't know. The fact that that's even a question tells you something has gone dramatically off the rails.
Yes, it has, Ron. Yes, it has. And you know what, guys? He's wondering why are we still dealing with them like they aren't China, huh? Like they aren't a North Korea right about now, huh? Because, see, these folks down there is doing stuff that we would expect these dictators to do. But apparently our government, they're okay with it. They're okay. They're okay with places like Cuba now. They're okay with the Taliban. They're okay with Australia doing things like what we're about to hear. And this right here is letting us know how scary things are getting. Listen to this.
Today, the call has gone out to everyone in home quarantine in Victoria to take part of our pilot program. And what that means is that they will receive random phone calls, and they have to answer within 5 minutes with a self-sent to this, which will then geo-track where that person is, and to make sure that they are who they say they are as well. If they don't answer within that five-minute period, that's when health officers come knocking, Pete.
I'm a little concerned. That right there sounds scary. That sounds like government over the reach. So 1984-ish, can anybody say that? You're telling me this is we always knew this was the goal. Listen to what they're starting to implement down there. These are the groundwork of it. They're looking down there and saying, let's see what they do down there and can they get away with it and see how dumb Australians are if they participate in it. Here it is again.
Today, the call has gone out to everyone in home quarantine in Victoria to take part of our pilot program. And what that means is that they will receive random phone calls to answer within 5 minutes.
Y'all hear that? Hello, Mike. Yeah, I'm calling for Crocodile Dundee. Is he there? He didn't call back in less than 5 minutes. It's been 6 minutes. We're going to send someone over to the house, all right? That's what they're going to do. Listen to this nonsense.
A selfie sent to this app, which will then geo-track where that person is and to make sure that they are who they say they are as well. If they don't answer within that five-minute period, that's when health officers come knocking, Pete.
Leave me alone. It's creepy. And stalking doesn't work for me.
Thank you. And that's what the government's doing down there. But this right here is a so-called free country. This is a country that normally we would think would be a country that says, are you kidding me? We can't do that to people. If you start letting them run pilots like that on you and nothing in you pops up and goes, that seems a little too far, you are bubblehead. This is about to be taken advantage of. Why would anyone agree to even participate in this mock trial? This is a pilot. Let us know who you are. Send a picture too, so we can make sure you ain't playing no funny games. And if you don't, within 5 minutes, we'll be at your crib. Wow. The crime must be so low in Australia that they got time to send folks out to folks' houses just like this, y'all. Listen to this.
There's a video going around viral of some cop.
Okay.
Australia's under very serious COVID lockdowns. Cop shows up wearing one of these dinky little masks.
Okay.
And she walks up to a person's private residence.
Uh-huh.
And she begins to explain why it's very, very wrong and awful and illegal that this person even suggested that maybe they might go out and protest the lockdowns.
Oh.
Is there a reason why you're recording me today?
Yes, for my protection.
You think I'm going to assault you or something?
No. So I don't understand why you're here. And
I haven't spoken to you and you think I'm going to do something to you?
Well, we've seen a lot of police violence in recent times towards the public. There is a growing mistrust, I as you can understand.
Now, can you imagine this? Here you are, an American citizen. You, I guess, maybe get an email. Hey, guys, we're having a rally at the Capitol to talk about how we disagree with these, mandates and all of that stuff. And we're against critical race theory, whatever. And then as you're coming home, getting out your car, you notice two police officers in your front yard. Okay, why are you here? Did somebody call you? No, we're just here to ask you a few questions. About what? Okay, well, let's continue, because here we go.
We don't
have to worry about that.
Yeah.
Not here to do anything like that.
All right.
We're here to have a chat to you because we have instructions that you've been posting some things on social media that you
protest
on Tuesday.
This is not right. This is not right. I hope the folks down in Australia are fighting mad. This woman just said, we're here because we've been monitoring your social media account, and it appears that you post a few things on your social media platform talking about a protest on Tuesday. So let's go back to America. How would you be thinking? Yeah, we're here to ask you a couple questions. We was checking out your Facebook account and your Instagram and stuff. You see, it shows that you posted a couple of things about going downtown to protest in the next couple of days. Is that true? What's it to you, man? Why are you here on my property asking me about what I post and why I'm talking about going to exercise my God-given rights under the Constitution to go and protest? How far do you think they're going when they have the nerve? That's spooky alone. The fact that they've been watching what these people are posting, enough to send the police to their house. You see what I mean by land down under right now is in trouble? Our brothers and sisters down here in Australia is in a mess. One thing they lack that we have is the Second Amendment. But good grief. I mean, I can't even imagine something like this. And I guarantee you, every single one of our Democrat politicians would love this to happen to parents that disagree with critical race theory, with those that want to go out and protest these lockdowns, they would love to avoid all of this mess by doing things just like this.
There's no protest on Tuesday. There isn't.
Okay, that's fine. But what I'm here is to remind you to make sure that you need to stay at home in relation to COVID and stay-at-home orders.
This makes me mad, man. Makes me mad. I'm here to remind you that you need to stay at home during COVID. Why are you out? If it's that bad, why are the police out? You know what, y'all? If it was that bad, every man would be for himself. If this was a real apocalyptic zombie type thing, the spring cops would be worried about showing up at people's house with a little thing over their face just to remind them to stay at home. And no, we would be straight Walking Dead scenario. There's no police anymore at that point. We would be like the movie with Brad Pitt in it, Z Nation, when he was in the store snatching stuff and the cop ran in there and he's thinking, oh crap, he's about to catch me stealing and looting. And the cop ran right past him and grabbed some loot himself and ran out. No time to police anybody because everybody's dying. We got to look out for our own lives at this point. But yet, here these folks are showing up like just here to give you a friendly reminder that you have no rights to go out and protest about us keeping you in your house.
And if there is or is not a protest on Tuesday, regardless, you still can't leave and go to a protest of any sort.
I understand.
Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, anything like that.
I just want to talk to you about something, yeah. Yeah, I don't know what accent I'm doing. I just want to talk to you about something. Yeah, it's like a mixture of East London and South African. Well, I saw what you posted on there on the Twitter, and you said you might protest the government. No, you cannot do that. I was spying on your social media, and I saw you protested the government, and you cannot do this wrong. And you see how concerned this cop is. No, look, it's just for you. Yeah, you can't do that. Yeah, this sort of.
Y'all hear that? It's for your own good. That is a great way to be a tyrant, y'all. Look, man, you think we trying to force y'all to stay at the crib just because? No, it's for your own good. Like CNN. You know what? We're not even going to let people watch what Trump is talking about right now because he's talking crazy stuff. So we're going to go ahead and cut away and fill you with propaganda lies. That's what we're going to do. We're going to protect you from listening to what Trump is saying for your own good because he's crazy and he's not making any sense. Now, if he was crazy and not making any sense, do you think CNN and MSNBC would have cut away? That would have been an opportunity for them to show you how crazy he is and not making sense. You cut away because what he was saying was making sense. So that's what they're protecting you from. They're protecting you from interfering in our agenda. And yet this is this lady's approach down there in Australia. How can the police down there even work against the people like this? This is why up here in America, they're doing their best to co-opt all of the institutions that they need to implement these things. They need enough police and military folks to buy into this crap to whereas when these sorry behind politicians try to do things like this, that they themselves won't be able to go out and implement and demand and punish. They need enough folks who's dumb enough to say, well, I mean, I'm getting paid to do it, and I forget the fact that I'm violating what I know to be these people's individual rights, but I guess, I mean, I'd rather be in with these guys than not. So I'm willing to go ahead and attack my own citizens and force them to do things like this. The police, by all means, should be out there going, this ain't right. Sorry, Captain. Maybe you done got co-opted and infiltrated, but not us. We're not going out there to do this.
Thing is, it is coming here already. It already kind of is here in the United States, though it's not as quite as widespread as it is in Australia. What's most interesting about this clip to me is that you've got an ostensibly conservative woman using some of the same rhetoric here about cops as you might hear from BLM. There have been a lot of incidents with the cops. The cops are encroaching on our rights. There have been some violent incidents, like when the cops start spraying you with rubber bullets. And so I'm filming you for my protection.
Yeah.
You hear that same thing about from BLM here in the United States, that the cops are out, you know, racists, and they're all going to just try to hunt down this innocent black guys.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I point this out because the institutions in the West broadly are crumbling.
Okay.
people don't have faith in them anymore. Hugh Hewitt said that at the top. I don't have faith in the CDC. I don't have faith in the FDA. Neither side has faith in our elections. In 2016, all the Dems said that Hillary actually won. In 2020, all the Republicans said that Trump actually won. BLM says that the cops are not to be trusted and are overstepping their bounds. The conservatives now are saying the very same thing. Now, so this poses a big problem for the establishment. Okay. But I want to be careful here. I'm not saying that both sides are making equally valid claims. When BLM says that there's an epidemic of cops going out, racist cops trying to kill innocent black people, it's just not true. Oh. It just isn't happening. It's not backed up by any evidence or any statistics whatsoever. Actually, very, 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 very few black men, innocent black men, are killed by the cops every year, infinitesimally few. And even unarmed black men, which doesn't mean unjust shootings, are very, very low numbers.
So, Michael, it appears you are making my argument for mass delusion. See, and projection and gaslighting. So we just watched the Democrats gaslight half of America. Stability in the country, prosperity in the country, safety, security, all of these things that Trump had. They gaslit half of America to make them think all of that was chaos. Now they're gaslighting them to make them think that all of the real chaos is stability. Huh. So their people are under the stupidity and guidelines, delusion rather, that black men are being traced down every day and systemic white nationalist police officers are killing them on a mass scale, which none of the data shows. But when we bring up something that is obvious and there's evidence of, then we're crazy. See, so when we say, I just sat here and watched a man board windows while people were supposed to be observing them count ballots. And I'm supposed to say, I don't believe what I just saw. My eyes lied to me, and it doesn't look nefarious. Nothing there. It looks all up and up. That's what I'm supposed to do. But yet, not one smidge of evidence about Trump stealing the election, Russia helping steal the election. But I believe that. All of these knuckles, yeah, Trump, if it wasn't for Russia. So no evidence means evidence, but evidence means no evidence. The devil is truly working our whole planet right now. Evil is good, and good is evil.
Okay, so those claims are false. Whereas the claims that cops are shutting down businesses, the claims that cops are people keep people locked in, the claims that cops are showing up to churches and shutting them down, that is happening, and that did happen for a lot of 2020, and it's still happening, and it's happening notably in Australia. Okay, so those are different things. The claims that Trump cheated in 2016 because he colluded with the Russians or whatever. There was a multi-million dollar investigation of this. It just wasn't true. It was completely false. Okay. The claims that there were shenanigans in the 2020 election are obviously true. Forget even for a second the audits, which have raised – I've talked about it on the show – have raised some serious concerns about the integrity of the election.
Yeah,
but even just the way that all the election integrity measures were taken away, so many of them before 2020, that in Pennsylvania, the way the election was conducted was in violation of the state constitution.
Reasons to be suspicious.
The use of ubiquitous, unsolicited, widespread mail-in ballots, the use of ballot drop boxes, all of these raise questions. And so I'm not saying, well, both sides are making these claims. I'm saying one side is making much more serious and justifiable claims than the other one. But neither side has trust in the institutions anymore, which is really bad news for the ruling class.
No, it's bad news for America. It's bad news for what we trust in. Right about now, we are split so much and there's so much crap going on, we need a miracle to step in and reverse this. Right about now, we are a country divided and split, and some folks have lost sight of what it means to be a citizen of America, what it means to be in love with your country, what it means to be united, what it means to be patriotic. They have blurred the lines. They have created so many people to view patriotism as white nationalism. Even if a candidate comes along, let's just say all this evidence comes out to show that the Biden administration Democrats did you-know-what in November. And somehow Trump gets put back in. It will reverse what's going on. Because, see, all of those people, even though we could provide them evidence and I've done this to people, showed them actual statements, documents, all of that, and still they read it and go, nope, don't believe it. So what would happen is it would just simply be them all saying, see, because I watched CNN, MSNBC, and many others already laying the groundwork for these audits. He did it again, y'all. He stole it, man. He came back. They would not believe what you show them, and then we would end up with another duplicate of the first 4 years of Trump with the riots and tearing down stuff, whining about not my president. Hopefully, some of these folks realize how bad of a decision it was to put this dude in and would be going, phew, I don't care if people tear up stuff, man, long as we are being forced to do these things that we don't want to do, long as I can stay on my job and not be fired because I refuse to do this. I'm guaranteeing a lot of folks will be going, woof, we dodged a bullet, even though we got lured in to this garbage narrative that Trump's a white nationalist racist xenophobe. But he's a white nationalist racist xenophobe that saved my job. He's a white nationalist racist xenophobe that's not forcing me to get stuff put in my body that I don't want. He's a white nationalist xenophobe that won't force me to not go out and protest because I'm upset about them telling my kids you're racist. And then Michael Huckabee, who I love very much, he's concerned about what's going on down there in Russia, Australia, too.
Before we get into some of the congressional hearings today, because it's some fascinating video from that, I want to go to the land down under, to Australia, where those lovely polar bears and kangaroos hang out. There's also some crazy people hanging out, and they've been allowed to be in their government. This is really a surprise, but it's disturbing as well. It would be funny if it weren't true. The Australian government has gone a little bit on the nuts side when it comes to making sure that all the citizens wear their mask.
Okay.
And I want to see what happens if they don't.
Okay, let's see. Watch. Wait, let me get my glasses. Okay, right here we see people safely out in the line. What? Are they shooting folks? Oh my God. Why isn't our government sending help? Why isn't the Biden administration sending refugee camps and stuff down there? Get them out of there. Get them out. All of these folks being attacked by their own government, guys. They ain't got no weapons. They ain't got no guns. And here they are being shot with these powerful rubber bullets. Did you hear the rat-a-tat-tat and all the protests scattered? That right there wasn't no single pop, pop, brrr, of rubber bullets. Letting these folks have it because they got the nerve to be outside. Why aren't we sending in some type of special forces here to help our country who's been taken over, and they're supposed to be an ally, been taken over by tyrants, y'all. They've been taken over by tyrants. We should be sending in some relief, some backup to help get these citizens out in the fight against a tyrannical government, right? It's taking off. No, we're not doing that. Oh, we're not even mentioning it. We're acting like it's not even taking place. That's what you're telling me? Okay. Why would we be doing that? Oh, because Biden is in control and the Democrats are in control and they want to see this come here. I get it. Okay, let's continue seeing the slaughtering of all of these people who simply want to just protest. Oh, did that cop just hit that dude in the head with a billy club?
Cross over! Wow. Everyone, go across the border! Cross over! They cannot arrest all of us!
Oh, well, they can't shoot it. That man said they can't arrest all of us, but they can't shoot through a lot of rubber bullets. Yeah. Doesn't look like the Australian.
Well, there are people protesting in Australia because of the very strict lockdowns due to COVID. You may have seen, they were shooting rubber bullets at people. These are unarmed people who are simply protesting the lockdowns, and they got shot at by the police with rubber bullets. I mean, that's a pretty extreme reaction. And then if you saw, and I know you just did, I was stunned to see them taking the butt of a gun and just beating a person's head with it and get.
But Michael, they were doing that because it was probably an extremist white nationalist conservative mother or father who probably just showed up at a PTA meeting and disagreed. You know, just a suburban mom or dad who simply said, hey, why are you forcing my third grader to, you know, put something over their face? And they're worthy of it. They're worthy of these type of tactics. They probably was just a couple white nationalists that showed up on the 6th And because the doors were open and they saw the police going ahead and flagging them to go ahead in, happened to just wander around inside that building. And now they're terrorists and white nationalists. They're probably just some nurse or some doctor who want to keep the job and not be forced to get the you-know-what. And because they're putting everybody else in danger, Michael, you got to beat them in the head and not even feel anything about it, because they're no longer really viewed like a citizen. They're no longer viewed like one of us smart ones that understand the importance of you making you do something so that I can feel safe. See, they don't understand that. So beat their heads in, and their fellow citizens won't even feel anything. You see what I mean, y'all? You see what I'm talking about when I say overreach? You see what I'm talking about when they are laying the groundwork for other citizens to watch this and feel nothing about it? When you start demonizing folks and when you start misassigning, you know, attributes to certain behaviors that aren't violating the law but just getting in your way of your crooked agenda, if you got enough dummies to buy into it, when you then have to do something like this to those folks in your way, the dummies will jump on board and celebrate it. That's right. Take away their rights. Force them to do stuff. Yeah, because, you know, their choices affect me. They're affecting me. Until your choices now are in the hot seat.
Getting on top of them and hitting them. I'm thinking, and what did they didn't wear a mask? My gosh, I mean, we don't treat criminals that badly. In fact, in California, you can walk into a Target store, take $1,000 worth of merchandise. You don't even have to run.
Nope.
Just casually walk out and say, thanks for the stuff.
There you go. So, in other words, evil is good, okay? If you didn't know evil, then you wouldn't know good. And evil is good. Now, we only got a couple minutes left. So what I'm going to do, y'all, I might do an extension later on concerning this next clip because I don't want to rush through it. But Jesse Waters breaks down what we're seeing take place right now in America on a great level. I just knew it was going to be tough to get to it. So I might just, after I get off, who knows, those that ain't got absolutely nothing to do, once I shut down this feed, I might just show back up for the late night special for about another half an hour or so I can deal with this thing that Jesse's talking about. So I'm going to give you an intro just in case you're interested in hanging out until the extended remix version.
Welcome to Waters World. I'm Jesse Waters. Cracking the code, that's the subject of tonight's Waters Words. There's something missing, America. Besides my book on the New York Times bestseller list, it's fine. We had a good run. What's missing is the media mob fixated on Florida and COVID. What changed? Florida COVID cases went way down. Florida kicked its summer surge. Good news, less sick citizens.
Right?
Extra, extra, read all about it.
You're celebrating it, right?
But the national news won't run it.
Why not? Why not? Because if the goal and objective was to save lives and do away and get, you know, do away with this whole, you know what, this floating around, isn't that good? We're making progress, or do you not want to make progress? Is it that your goal and objective is not to save lives and get rid of the you-know-what, but instead to force folks to do things they don't want to do?
The media mob won't tell you the rest of the Florida story because it had a happy ending.
Oh, that's...
See, if the plot line changes and goes against the narrative, the press skips to the next act.
What?
And the next act is this.
It's what?
If you're unmasked or unvaxxed, you're a deadly weapon.
And we will stop with that, y'all. Did y'all hear what Jesse said? He said, we got to go ahead and up the ante. We got to make it more desperate. So let me understand. Hey, running tight. The goal now is to say, if we got all these folks that's doing what they're doing here in America, like these folks down there in Australia, we can't just simply say your peaceful, God-given right to say, I don't want that is sufficient. No. It got to be more at stake, because if we let y'all get away with that, then, of course, we can't force you to do what we want you to do. So instead, we got to make it appear that if you don't do it, you are a deadly weapon. And with that being said, y'all, we about to get out of here. About 10, 15 minutes, if I can, you know, check. I got to go check on old man Teddy, y'all. He's not doing well at all, unfortunately. And